As I was able to share with you just a few minutes ago, if anything can be said about sin in a nutshell, it is biblical training for life, and it is biblical training for mission. And our reading today from Matthew's Gospel is a brief introduction to Jesus' mission on earth. And it says, as he went about his mission, he saw the reality of the situations that surrounded him. And as we read, and has been mentioned several times this morning, the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, one of the things I found coming back from the field to Britain is that the idea of mission isn't exactly kind of on a high register. And in fact, it's not politically correct. Some people say to us, why do you try to impose your religion on people? And I would answer, they say they're happy as they are. And I'd first say that it's not a matter of them being happy as they are, because they're not. Just one illustration is the Enthlit tribe in Paraguay. They were scared stiff of evil spirits before the missionaries came. If a person fainted, they would literally bash in their heads and kill them because they didn't want the evil spirit to come back to the place. When a person died in a village, they would burn down the houses and move to a different location so the spirits wouldn't find them. And that is the situation of many tribal people, but also in the cities. People have the same problems. People are harassed and helpless without a savior. So the first point I want to take from the Matthew reading is the need for mission. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And today in the UK and the world at large, people are also harassed and helpless. All we need to do is turn on our television sets. In the poor and destitute countries and the rich and affluent countries, we have the same basic problems everywhere. There are broken homes, there's violence, killings, scams, crime, dishonesty, incompetence, corruption, terrorism, immorality. The list is absolutely unending. And yes, there are lots of good, wholesome people. But there's still the spiritual need that's been manifest all this morning. There's a need for security and significance, which most people seem to have wanted in money and prestige. And then there's the burden of sin that needs to be forgiven, and a purpose in life, and even more important, the decision of eternal destiny. We put our finger up one. Only in Jesus can we be saved and brought to God. So the situation is there, but the big question that we have to talk about is, do we see the need? And that takes us to the second point in this reading, the heart of mission, verse 36. Seeing the need as he traveled, Jesus had compassion on them. For people with like a sheep without a shepherd. The heart of mission, therefore, is God's love for his creation. Jesus came to sort out and mend the mess. And that's where we have this glorious John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we are called to proclaim and share that message, not impose, but share with others. And for this, Paul says to us, have the mind of Christ. And what was that in Philippians 2:8? Jesus left his comfort zone. Jesus emptied himself. And Jesus served even unto death. And then for 1 John says to us, whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did. Though this is a direct challenge to each one of us. And in John 20, as my Father sent me, he says to his disciples, and with their disciples, I send you. And then we have the most glorious commission, the Great Commission, which some people have called the Great Omission, and it does happen in many places. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded, and that is the mission of SEIN and other institutions that are teaching God's word. So we have the need for mission, we have the heart for mission, which is compassion and mercy. We have the method of mission. Verse 35, it says, Jesus came from heaven, that is just before the verse, and he went to the people. He didn't get the people to come to him. He went where they were. And the first thing it said, he preached. And he followed on from John the Baptist and said, repent and turn your back on sin and your sins will be forgiven. And it also says he taught. And Jesus taught so many things, but just a few just to remember. If you hold to my teaching, says Jesus, you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And then the third thing he had at the end, it says he healed them. He healed them in body and soul out of love and as great signs of the kingdom of the miracles he did. One of the blessings of getting old and having seen lots of things on the ground, one of the things one can see the difference that the gospel makes in the life of people who are lost. There's just one illustration that I'd like to bring on this. And this is a Pehuenche native called Gumersindo. He lived right up in the Andes, in a place called Cauñicu, close to the border with Argentina. At that stage, he was a real rotter. He was a fighter. He would be a cause of problems. He wasn't kind to his wife, and people would try to avoid him. And he was a drunkard. And one day, he went from Cauñicu down to a village, and he was wandering along a street, and suddenly he heard singing, and he was drunk, so he was kind of stumbling along, and he came across a little Pentecostal chapel. He entered that chapel, sat on the back seat and listened, and there was an altar call. Did anyone want to come to accept Christ as Lord and Savior? So drunk and all, he got up, stumbled to the front, and gave his life to Christ. Well, people were not quite sure what to do with this because he was definitely really down and out. They said, look, this is very nice that you've taken this step, but why don't you kind of go home, get sober and come back tomorrow and we'll talk to you. He did. He came back the next day, totally changed. The Lord had zapped him spiritually. And then he went straight back to his home. The first thing he did was kiss his wife. This, I'm making it up, but it's more or less what happened. So the wife went running off to all the wives of the other people round about. Gumersindo's come back and he kissed me. So all the wives went out and found the men and got them by the ear to come back and hear what happened to Gumersindo. And to cut a long story short, now there are four little chapels and congregations of God people up in the Alto Vio Vio, right up in the Andes, that came from the healing, spiritually and physically, of Gumersindo. And Pancha and I had the privilege of working with them for several years with TEE, with SEIN. And one day when we were traveling up the mountains, there was a policeman hitchhiking. We asked him, what is the difference you see in the Cauñicu community? And he said, it was absolutely incredible. Domestic violence had diminished, drunkenness had diminished, and they were a transformed community. This is what Jesus does. And that is why mission is so important. And that leads us to our fourth point in the reading, the call to mission. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There is a great need for workers. Who will answer the call? Sometimes we can be slow to respond, or worse even, to turn away from the challenge. And it brings to mind a kind of joke told in Argentina of Juan Domingo Perón. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was a dictator in Argentina. And he had a total dominion of the word, and he was a blah, blah. And hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, would fill up the Plaza de Mayo, and he would harangue the crowds, and the crowds would say, "La vida por Perón, la vida por Perón." In other words, "Our life for Perón." And so one day, some cynic wrote a little joke on it, and he said that there was a crowd, and there was Perón talking, saying, "My dear compatriots, today I am going to give to you what you are crying out for, to give your life for Perón." He said, "I'm going to take this feather and drop it off the balcony, and the one on whose head it falls, that person is going to give his life for his leader, for Perón." And the 100,000 people were shouting their voices, "La vida por Perón, la vida por Perón, la vida por Perón, la vida por la vida." None of them wanted to give their lives for Perón. But sometimes, isn't it true that it can happen that we can say our lives for Jesus, blowing away the feather? We shouldn't be like that. We're called to proclaim the word that's been proclaimed so gloriously in this church today from the very beginning. As a Christian community, we must see the need. We must call to Jesus to have his compassion in our lives. We are called to share the gospel and help those in need. We're not all called to be pastors or preachers, but yes, we are called to be active workers. And sometimes when one talks about this subject, there can be a sort of guilt complex, because missionaries go out to the field and it's visible. How can we do mission? And that's where we have the second reading, which I think is directly linked. I get great comfort out of Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. First, we have the bit that everyone recognizes, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And usually people finish there. But look what it says, verse 10. "For we are created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we don't have to rack our brains what our mission is. All we need to do is have a daily devotion, kneel down and pray to God, "Lord, what is the work that you have me to do?" That is mission. That is taking what God has already organized in our lives. He will put before us our mission task for each day, but we have to respond to this call. Shall we pray? Dear loving Father, we just praise and thank you for your mission to earth and what you mean to us, of how we proclaim your name, of how you've changed our lives. We just bless and thank you, Lord, and I bless and thank you for this church, which has been so incredibly generous to us over many decades. I pray that you will bless them, that you bless the plans that they have, and that many workers will come from this congregation to serve you out of love and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.